Good morning. Before we begin, you know, we talk all the time about prayers and unanswered prayers and just prayers that we pray to God and we don't not only get an answer, sometimes we get a no. And I guess it just depends on the person and what you're praying for and if you're in God's will, if you get an answer or not. But I just want to tell you, we prayed and we got a quick answer. Daniel's here today. Yeah, you can see him, but not till I'm done. I'll be quick. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each one of us esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in yours, which was also in Jesus Christ. I think most of you that are here know my history. So I won't get into it again, but just to say this, and most of you know, I don't have any kind of degree in theology. I not only didn't go to seminary school, I majored in something else. In fact, I get nervous around Bible scholars when they start talking about the Bible and they start talking about the meanings in Greek or Hebrew. In the Hebrew language, I realized that the only Greek word that I know is yogurt. And I'm not sure even that it's Greek. I know it's not Hebrew. It could be Turkish. But if I don't know Hebrew or Greek, you can bet I don't know Turkish. To be honest with you, and this is just for me in my heart, to be honest, some of the theologians that I have met didn't seem like anybody I would want to spend a lot of time with. It seemed to me, now this is not all, just some. It seems to me like some theologians are to the joy of Christ like nutritionists are to cheesecake. They both take something full of delight and joy and then make you feel bad about it. And maybe that's me because I feel guilty that I'm not operating on the same level as them. It could be just that. Now, you need to understand something this morning. Everything that I've just said to this point is my opinion, only my opinion, and you should be taken with that in mind. I'm sure some of you have a totally different opinion, and that's okay. One thing about opinions is everyone has one. So do any of you remember an old song by, looking at this crowd, some of you should there. do any of you remember an old song by Sam Cooke called What a Wonderful World It Would Be? Yes. I think Sam Cooke's message here is a message that has been lost by this society that we live in today. Let me give you the first verse and see if you agree with that statement. It goes like this. Don't know much about history, don't know much about biology, don't know much about the science book, don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you, and I know if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Amen. So like I very seldom do, I took the liberty of writing my own verse. And it goes like this. I don't know much about theology, I don't know much about eschatology. I don't know why they took the Exodus. I don't know much about Leviticus. But I do know that God loves you, and I know if you love him too, what a wonderful world this would be. And that's what I do know, and that's what works for me. Again, my opinion. I think one of the problems we have in the church today is that we don't connect with each other on the same level that the Bible calls us to. Remember what we just read in verse 1 in 2 Corinthians verse 1? It says this. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship in Christ, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord and mind. I think we just get so busy, and maybe we've just got so smart, and we've got our mind on so many things that we just have kind of let go of that. Verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. I think we operate as a society today just the totally opposite of that. How society deals with how we treat each other. Look at how far we've fallen from what Paul called us to be in this passage right here. Look at how far we've fallen. Sometimes it seems like the only person most people care about anymore is themselves. That's just the way we operate now. Do you remember a man named Winston Morley? I've told this story before, so. No? So either you never heard it or you don't remember what I said. In 1964, in New York City, he stabbed to death a young woman named Kelly Grenefer. Kitty, I'm sorry. It was no ordinary murder, but if you can say any murder is an ordinary murder, it was no ordinary murder. He chased her down and stabbed her. She got away from him, and he chased her again and stabbed her again, and she got away, and he caught her. This all took place in about a half an hour. He stabbed her to death while 38 people, her neighbors, watched. There were 38 eyewitnesses to this when the police did their investigation. During that time, not one single person came to her aid. Not one single person shouted out for help. Not one single person bothered to call the police. I've heard, and I'm not positive about this, but I think this was the beginning of our system, 911. I know they didn't have that system when this happened, and I think because of that, it initiated the 911 system so people could just easily report what they saw. One porter said her death came to symbolize indifference. In other words, a total lack of caring for each other. And I believe that's where we're headed today. Today we see that same scenario played out every single day almost. Back then, this was a big thing. It was big news. Today, not so much. And that's not an exaggeration. It's true. Don't believe it? Just turn on the news. Read your newspaper. Seems like scenarios like that play themselves out now every single day. I don't know that for a fact, but I would be willing to say that's a true statement. In the United States, we have this kind of horrible death every single day somewhere. Today's psychologists call this what happened in New York. They call it the bystander syndrome. And here's what their studies concluded. They said they found out there was one single factor determined where people would either help or respond. There was one reason why they would either help or respond. I was shocked. It wasn't the severity of the crime or how the person screamed for help. It wasn't where the bystanders were young or old, male or female, black or white, or any other race. Their study concluded that the one thing that mattered most was how many people witnessed the crime. The more people who witness the event, the less likely they are to help. This is amazing. It sounds crazy to me. But you know what? That same scenario we see played out all the time in the church. Oftentimes, churches will ask for help in some area. And the general attitude is, there's a whole lot of people here. Someone else will surely stand up and do this. Have you ever been guilty of that? Have you ever been in church where they said, we need somebody to do that, and especially in a large church? And you looked around and you thought to yourself, you know, all these people here, surely somebody is going to step up and do that. You never gave it another thought. I used to come in on a regular basis and find in our kitchen back there the sink full of dirty dishes. So I put a sign up over the sink that said this: please don't leave dirty dishes in the sink for someone else to clean. I'm having a hard problem filling the position of someone else. I don't know about how much of this explanation that these psychiatrists gave for what happened. I don't know how true that really is. But when I think about it, there definitely is some truth in it. Remember what Paul said in verse 3 and 4? He said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Another thing that we do along those same lines is sometimes you'll hear a sermon, and sometimes right after the sermon, or sometimes even during the sermon, you'll lean over to the person, you say, oh, I wish so-and-so was here today to hear this. Listen, I don't want you to do that this morning. I want you to take this personally. I want you to ask yourself, how does this message that Max is giving this morning, how does it apply to my life? I don't want you to just say, surely someone else is going to listen to this, and surely someone else will do this. Our text this morning is about how we should treat and care for each other. Let me just read it again. This message is about how we treat and care for each other. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. I'm just convinced that this message that we've got here from Paul this morning is more relevant today than it's ever been, at least in my life. Like never before, we are seeing acts of cruelty on each other, and we're seeing them every day. Much of the time, it's just callous indifference for human life. You see all the clips you can't get away from on your phone, on TV, or whatever you're looking at, or people tell you. There's so much callous indifference now for human life, the kind of cruelty that used to be reserved for places we call third world countries. Now that cruel indifference for each other has come to this country. It's come to our state, it's come to our city, and it's come to our street where we live. Now, I want to stop here and point out something that you may have missed. I know I've been over this passage a bunch of times, and again, to be honest with you, I missed it. This passage in Philippians is a letter that was wrote to a church, the church at Philippi. It was the first Christian church in Europe. It was planted by the Apostle Paul. And the people that belonged to that church were Gentiles. This is a letter from Paul to Christians on how they should treat each other. Now, sure, it's a wonderful message to the whole world, and a lot of times I took it that way. It's a wonderful message to the whole world, but if we don't get it right first, the rest of the world's never going to get it right. Amen. This message here is to us. As I prepare for this sermon, you know, a lot of times my subject always comes from things, not always, but almost always, from things I'm struggling with in my life. That's just where I get my material. This morning is no exception. I thought about that for a long time. And you know what? I've seemed to made a really long list of people I don't like. As bad as that sounds, it's the truth. So this morning is going to work out really well because I'm here to hear it. And I won't have wait to have Shelley bring me the CD. Literally, she has done that to me all the time. She brings me a CD of one of my sermons. She says, "You really need to listen to this." Now, I've told you, or you probably have heard these two stories before, but they're important because it gives us a foundation of where we were and where we are. I saw this clipping about the Special Olympics, and that's where handicapped children just have the Olympics, just like the real one. It's just important to, not only to them, but their parents and the crowd. It's just important to them as the real Olympics. They had this one event. It was a 220-yard dash. They all got lined up. The gun went off, and they started running. There was one boy. His name was Andrew. He was almost 50 yards ahead of everybody else. And if you don't know, a 220-yard dash is run on the curve of the track, not on the straight part. He was so far ahead that when he looked over his shoulder, he could see back where they started. And he happened to see his best friend. And he stopped running. He wasn't more than 10 yards from the finish line. He just dead stopped. And everybody started screaming at him, "You've got to keep going. You're almost there. Andrew, run, Andrew." But he didn't. He looked over the finish line for a second, then he looked back at his friend, and he went back and helped him up. And hand in hand, they crossed the finish line dead last. But as they did, everyone was screaming wildly because there are some things more important than finishing first. There are some people in our lives that are more important than where we finish. And one more. There was this girls' softball game, and it was in the very last inning. The score was tied 1-1, and there were two outs. The girl that came up hit it a long ways, hit it all the way over the fence, and you would think game's over. But as she was rounding first base, she fell and sprained her ankle, and she couldn't get up. She couldn't go on. The rule book says for a run to count, the runner must touch all four bases. Even if it's hit over the fence, you still got to touch all four bases. It also says you can't be assisted by anybody on your team. So the umpires, you know how they do. They go to one team and explain, and then go to the team and explain what their decision is. Well, when they went to the opposing team and told them what happened, they all got in a huddle, and just about 30 seconds later, two girls from the opposing team went over, picked her up, and carried her around the bases. Sometimes things are more important than winning. Amen. More important than our own schedules. More important than you are. Today, those incidents wouldn't even make the news. I doubt if either one, most of you had ever heard about either one of those things. But if you want to make the news today, beat someone to death. That's how far we've come. Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if one fails, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by the other, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There are literally people all around us with no one to help them get up. They're everywhere. And you know what? All of us get knocked down sometimes, don't we? We all do. How great is it when you have a friend who cares enough about you to lift you up, to dust you off, and even carry you if necessary? I thank God for this church. I thank God for every one of you here. I thank God for my family and my wife. And this morning, I really thank God for my son and daughter who have literally picked Shelley and I up and carried us these last few months. There is no way to measure how important it is to have someone in your life who genuinely cares about you. There was Shelley and I, from the time we were married, she would call her mother every Saturday morning without fail. I mean, without fail. It's went on for years and years. Sometimes it was just for no other reason than to hear her voice. Didn't matter where we were. It didn't matter what we were doing. She stopped and called her mother every Saturday morning, even years after her mom passed away. Sometimes she would wake up in the morning and say to me, "I got to call my mom." Let's jump down to now to verse 19, same chapter, verse 19. This is what Paul says. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send you Timothy to me shortly, that also I may be encouraged when I know your state." Even when Paul was in prison, he wrote this letter at the time he was in prison. Even when Paul was in prison, he had a genuine concern about the church at Philippi. He had a genuine concern about the people there. So he sent Timothy so he could find out if they were all right and could report back to him. His concern was about them, even when he was in prison. We can learn a lot from Paul here. But I think to learn the real lesson Paul is trying to teach us here, we need to make this personal. And so that's what I'm going to do. Why are you here today? Why are you here? Maybe it's because you think you owe God at least 1 hour a week, and you're here to pay that debt. Maybe you're here to pay penance for the... almost said a bad word. That was so close. Maybe you're here to pay some penance for the way you acted us this last week. Maybe it's because you like the music. Preaching, not so much, but you like the music. Really, why did you come here this morning? Why didn't you just stay home and watch it on TV? I can't count as high as I've had people tell me that. Well, you know what? I don't come because I can just watch it on TV. Those are the best pastors there are. I can just watch it on TV. So just that question then is a good question. Why are you here then? Why do you come to church? Well, if we can learn anything from Paul's example this morning, if we really do have a genuine concern for other people, then the church becomes a training ground. A place where we learn how to help each other, a place where we get to practice our genuine care for each other. So when you come to church, be on the lookout. Maybe you're sitting next to somebody that's new this morning, been here for the first time. Introduce yourself. Tell them, I'm glad you came. Tell them, if you need any help or any way, you need to know anything, just ask me. That's why you're here today. You know, when our concern is for other people, first of all, you begin to forget your own problems. We seldom realize that. We think that when we're having trouble in our life, things aren't going to us. I hear people say, whining, I call it. It's all about us. Poor me. Help me. Why did this happen to me? I just need some alone time for me. But that's not the answer. The Bible teaches us, and even psychologists are starting to learn this, the quickest way to get rid of what's going on in your life is to become involved in helping someone else. That's why you're here. When you learn somebody else is having a difficult time, let them know that you're praying for them. And you know the best way to do that? The best way to do that is to be here and get them face to face and say, let's pray for that right now. That's why you're here. If someone you know is struggling with a burden, grief, or a loss in their family, hold their hand, cry with them. Let them know that you're with them. You'll go through with whatever they're going through. You'll go through with them. That's why you're here. Now, I realize that many of you are already doing that, and I praise God for you every single day. Because good things happen when you are in a spot where you're generally concerned about someone else. But the world will never learn that if we don't learn it first. If we don't let them see it in us first. We read this message of Paul to the church in Philippi all the time, and all we take is having concern, like concern for the whole world. He's talking about us having concern for each other first. He wrote this letter to the church, and he says, if you want to be successful in what you're doing, this is the way you need to treat each other. It's not that it's not the way we should treat the whole world, but we have to begin here. We have to be like-minded. It's a terrible world we're living in. But stooping down to the level this world has stooped to is not our answer. And when we do, we've lost the one thing that sustains us, our hope. We need to hang on to our hope by hanging on to each other. You should be here this morning. The reason you're here this morning is to take care of someone that you're concerned about, someone that you love, someone that you want to help. And as I look over this crowd, I can tell you, there's not a one of you that don't need some help. But it's true. Well, sometimes what I see from this passage is we look at the big picture. We look at the big picture, and we're not getting what God wants us to do first. We're trying to solve the problems of the world and ignore the problems in this room. If we learn anything from this passage this morning, is we need to come to church for those reasons, to care for each other, to pray for each other, to pick each other up, to be there when somebody wants you to be. You can't do any of those things from TV. None of them. I'm not saying it's not a good thing to watch these pastors on TV, but I am saying if that's all you get, that's not enough. You need what we have here. You need to get what the people in this room here can give you. Amen. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for every person here. Lord, thank you for this kind will that you give us, this lesson that you give us about how important it is to care for each other, to love each other, to pray for each other. I pray, Lord, that we will never get away from that, that we will always understand that's the reason we're here today. And then the people, the rest of the world, Lord, let them see that in us. They're not going to get it anywhere else, Lord. We pray for the strength to let them see that in us. Amen.
Amen.